Welcome from the deep. I am Mike the Finder.
And I am Book of Brett.
And today we're going to be talking about the 2023 film Thanksgiving. Last year, I remember very vividly trying to get you to go see this movie in theater so that we could review it.
Yeah, you and like three or four other people.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I don't think, I mean, I outside of the horror community, I don't know that this made much of a splash. So I
had like three or four people come up to me last year and go, "You got to go see Thanksgiving. It's right up your alley. You got to go to see Thanksgiving. It's right up your alley." And generally, when people tell me that, not that it happens all the time, but when people do tell me that, I almost always assume it's not going to be right up my alley.
I mean, you like other Eli Roth movies, though, right?
I would not say I'm a huge Eli Roth fan. The last time I saw an Eli Roth movie was Hostel 2 on acting. So I would not say I've had a huge, like, a huge...
Yeah, I can imagine that would have to go quite see an impact Eli Roth on movie. You see Eli Roth as a human being.
Yeah, yeah. It ended just a short divergence here. About an hour into the movie, I was clutching a pillow on the couch like this, watching Hostel 2. And about an hour in, I threw it at our mutual friend. I threw the pillow at him and went, "This is the stupidest thing we've ever done." And I went outside and I smoked cigarettes until it was over. And since then, I have not watched an Eli Roth movie. But I am really, really glad I did not let Eli Roth's name being attached to this affect that in any way, because I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Well, that's what's interesting, is the fact that you were so kind of resistant to it. I think what makes this just interesting, it really feels like a throwback to like early 2000 slashers. This really kind of feels like a Valentine or something.
Dumpster Sluts 3.
Along those lines, of course. Dumpster Sluts 3. Who could forget the classic Dumpster Sluts 3? What a horrible image that painted in my brain.
It's like Cabbage Patch Kids grew up.
Oh, God. So, anyway, I thought it'd be interesting to run down a little bit of Eli Roth's credits here. He just recently did Borderlands, which was a massive flop.
Yeah, and dude, I
think he's going to have a hard time recovering
about that.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters and walked out after 25 minutes. And I do not walk out of movies.
Oh, that's right. You called me to tell me that. And you don't generally, when you do that, it'll come up.
Yeah.
This time you called me and told me.
Yeah. But he also did Thanksgiving, which is what we're talking about today. Finn, the clock, or the house with the clock in its walls, which I have not seen, but it's more like a kid's like magic horror movie type thing from what I've heard of.
It wasn't that with Jack Black.
I believe it does have Jack Black in it. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know this other stuff. Death Wish, South of Hell, Knock Knock, The Green Inferno. I liked.
Yeah.
Hemlock Grove series. He did a couple episodes there. I don't know. Grindhouse, which is where this idea comes from. So for anybody that doesn't know, Grindhouse has shorts in between the movies. I don't know when the last time you watched Grindhouse was.
I've never watched Grindhouse.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay. Well, they have like short fake trailers made by different directors in between the Tarantino and the, I always blank on his name, fucking Robert Rodriguez. Cause it's just such a, like, I don't know. I just never remember his name. Anyway, they have fake little things in between. And you can see here, it says director is Eli Roth in Grindhouse. So, you know, he did help do some of the Grindhouse stuff. And he did the fake trailer for Thanksgiving, which is where the idea for this entire movie comes from, as well as like Machete.
I didn't know that.
And a couple other movies have like sprung out of Grindhouse. So it's interesting.
That's
you haven't seen
cool.
that. We're going to have to do that because I think you'd be into those.
And before people are in the comments, "You haven't seen Grindhouse?" He's the horror guy. I'm not the horror
guy. Well, the thing is like, it's not, I don't know. It's more like a,
not that I don't like horror, but you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're the, well, fucking, they're not really,
you want to sit here and talk about historical epics. We can sit here and talk about historical epics and flip the paradigm. But
well, that's, yeah, what's interesting is like Planet Terror is like kind of like a zombie movie, which is the Robert Rodriguez side of things. And then the Quentin Tarantino side of things is more, and I mean, it's got horror elements, but it's like a genre movie, like an action, like a 70s action.
It felt like an exploitation movie.
That's what it's doing. It's both of them, okay, are playing off the old exploitation movies and the old grindhouse shows. So,
okay.
That was way off topic, but all that is to say that Thanksgiving was a short in Grindhouse, which is where this entire idea comes from, and Eli Roth took the idea and made an entire film out of it. So he didn't just, you know, come out of nowhere with this idea. It's been, right, around for a minute. So I'm interested to see what you thought of this movie, because this is the first time you've seen this. I have now seen this 4 times. I did see it in theaters last year whenever I tried to get him to go see it so we could review it. But I knew I wanted to do this again this year because there are so few Thanksgiving horror movies. And this is just a straight holiday slasher, and I love holiday slashers like Valentine, like I was saying earlier. So yeah. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about this, but first let's get a synopsis of this movie, then we'll look at IMDb.
Thanksgiving is about a town being terrorized by a Mad Hatter type dressed up like a pilgrim after a stampede massacre happens at the local grocery store,
Best Buy? It's more like
Best Buy.
Sporting basically goods, Best Buy sort of thing. Yeah.
Basically a tragedy happens at a store and the pilgrims get their revenge.
What's funny about that is that the pilgrim's name is John Carver, which is just a funny.
Is that a real guy?
Okay, so it turns out John Carver was a real person. John Carver was one of the pilgrims who made the Mayflower voyage in 1620, which resulted in the creation of Plymouth Colony in America.
Come on, cannibalism. Come on, cannibalism. Does it say anything about cannibalism? Did he go like all loosey-goosey with his noodle?
He was the first signature on the historic Mayflower Compact. So I think probably what happened was he just looked up people like pilgrims and he thought, John Carver could be a cool name for a slasher because of Carver and Thanksgiving. And then that's probably where this came from. If I had to guess,
that's not good enough for me. I choose to believe that this is all rooted in an urban legend where he was one of the first ones over here. They had no idea what was going on. They ran out of lemons and then he got scurvy and went crazy from the scurvy and started murdering people. And that's what he started to the Native Americans as turkey. That's the narrative I'm going with. Please continue the episode.
So anyway, I thought what we'd do here real quick is we'd give a little spoiler-free review to talk about this a little bit, because there are some spoilers in this film that I want to talk about, after which we will talk about
them. It does have a mystery aspect to it.
It does, which is part of the reason I like it so much, because I love whodunit type slashers, and this is like a straight-up whodunit slasher. So there is a little bit of spoiling, but we will let you know before we start talking spoilers. And before we do that, we will tell you whether we think this movie is worth watching or not. Then we'll talk spoilers and give you our final ratings and thoughts on the movie. But I'm interested to see what you have to say about this, as it's your first time seeing it.
Okay, but you said spoiling so many times and you missed an opportunity to say turkey spoiling. So here on out, I'm going to need you to fit in as many Thanksgiving references as you possibly can. Thank you. Anyway, I really liked Thanksgiving. You told me it was Eli Roth. So that was me going in, at least not like reluctantly watching it, but going in expecting, honestly, a lot more as far as like a lot more disturbing shit than I think
it
I really got.
It definitely paints a picture of like, oh, this is going to be really bad. And for people that aren't into horror, it might be, but.
Yeah, it's really not. This was,
I don't know, there's some pretty gruesome moments too.
I think the thing that came to mind when I'm watching this is the word refreshing. This movie is refreshing. It would be really easy to go off into crazy cheese territory with this. It would be really easy not to give a shit about how the whole thing is constructed, laid out, and executed. But this one is constructed, laid out, and executed almost perfectly, if I'm being completely honest. Like, there were no points, or there were a couple points in the movie where I'm sitting here going, like, why are they doing the stupid horror decisions? Why are they making, like, the characters making stupid horror decisions as far as, like, how to survive? But none of them were, A, that outlandishly dumb, and B, that's just kind of how you propel a story along. Like, by making the characters do things that maybe you otherwise wouldn't do in those situations. But for the most part, it felt as grounded as a movie this outlandishly gory can feel grounded.
What's interesting is when you say refreshing, it's almost the opposite for me. But I think in a really, really good way. This, like I said earlier, feels like an early 2000s slasher. And I think that's kind of what he was going for.
When I say refreshing, I mean, this was just about a fun story. This is about a fun narrative. This isn't some, like, elevated or attempting to be elevated while really just being a fucking slasher movie,
right,
type of slasher movie.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. So
slasher movie.
So what I was about to say was that I think that actually helps it, the fact that it's sort of modeled after an early 2000 slasher film. And if we think about Eli Roth's previous films, that's kind of when he came up, and when he really gained popularity was during the time that he's sort of emulating here. But also, I think the fact that this is just a straight whodunit slasher is why it's refreshing, because no one does that anymore, especially over here with large budgets and anything that could be considered, like theatrical. So I just think that the fact that he's doing a classic mystery slasher movie, and then with that, we mix what a lot of people now have nostalgia for, because it was almost 20 years ago, the early 2000s slashers. I think that mixing those two things together is actually really cool. And anybody that has nostalgia for those early 2000s, it's not me. I'm going to be honest. It's not me. I am not a massive 2000s horror guy. But I'll tell you this, movie is really fun and really well made. It's gory and gross. And it has a lot of awesome practical special effects in it. The killer is fucking awesome. The mask is cool. The fact
and that he's not all slow and bumbling either. And he's like, oh shit, I should run.
Well, he also has moments where it's like it genuinely feels like they're gonna make this a franchise. You can just tell. And what's really interesting about that is that if we look at Eli Roth's IMDb page here, we scroll down, we can see an upcoming, they are making a sequel, Thanksgiving 2, for this movie. So this is what happens, people, when you make good slashers. Like, this will be a franchise that could go on for the next 10 movies. Like, if he really wanted to, and he does the next couple correctly, this could be a straight, legit, amazing franchise. And the fact that he leans so hard into the Thanksgiving motif, where he's cooking people, and all of it is just so well done.
And
the idea and aesthetic works so well for what he's doing. I just couldn't help but really enjoy this. And the first time I saw it, I loved it. It has gone down a little bit in each viewing, but this time around, I enjoyed it probably just as much as I did the first time I saw it. So this definitely has some rewatchability, and it's just great. This is just a fun old school slasher, and I love it.
I think one of the things that this movie does really well is find his in between the level and preposterous amount of gore and disturbing imagery he was using in things like Hostel.
Right.
And
if you go back, Hostel's kind of tame, but the sequel's not. The sequel.
Listen, buddy, all I know is that I watched a woman put scissors to a man's cock and balls on four hits of ass. And I lost my mind. Okay. That's all I know. That's the last thing I remember about Eli Roth.
I think that's the sequel, I think.
right?
I said Hostel 2. Okay. I said Hostel 2.
I was just, I just meant like, I rewatched
Hostel.
I was
just stoned.
Yeah, I rewatched Hostel 1 not that long ago, and I was kind of surprised by like how tame it is kind of by today's standards, but it is 15, Hostel 20 years old. You know what I mean? So
for me, you could see how this would be an in-between.
Right. Well, and it is so, though. You can feel that he's kind of holding back. You can tell that he wants to make this hyper gory. Yes.
Dude, that oven scene could have gone way further. He really, really wanted to.
Even like, the decapitations and like the of what's his face at the beginning when he feeds the cat. What's that guy's name? He's a funny comedian. I always forget his name.
I can't remember.
I just saw a thing of him shit talking Joker 2, which he's in, where him and the extras were sitting around talking like, this is going to flop. What the fuck is this? In Joker 2. Anyway, Tim Dillon, is that right? No.
Robert Downey Jr.
No. Tim Dillon. This guy.
Tim Dillon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah, he is hilarious. So anyway, even that kill is, you can make that so brutal and gross. And that's kind of like, I don't know, every single kill in this movie. The one that sticks out in my head is in the parade scene where the front of the boat goes through the grandpa's head in front of his granddaughters.
So hard.
And they're sitting there freaking out, like, wake up! And his blood is like gushing all over.
I laughed so hard because you know the part of it going through his head is funny in a ridiculous way, in an outlandish way, right? Yeah. When they cut back, it's funny because they only cut back so you could see them crying and then blood splurt onto their faces. They use comedy in such a good, subtle way in this movie where if you're not either a complete monster or B, utterly desensitized because of the people you choose to hang out with, it could be seen as terrible. It could be seen as, you know, traumatic. What's up?
That felt a little bit like a shot.
No. But when you really like pay attention to the like the filmmaking aspect of what he's doing, like the techniques that he's using, this movie takes on a comedic role in that way.
I mean, I definitely agree. That's the thing about this coming from Grindhouse, which I actually want to show you real quick. We may have to cut this out of the podcast, but I would like to show you this real quick. Because I think if you see this, this just gives the entire idea a little bit more context.
This is not what I was expecting.
You gotta remember, Grindhouse is a 70s style movie.
I'm just surprised that it went from this
into what it was. Well,
what it ends up being. The turkey costume's the exact same.
Yeah. And the parade scene here.
That's, I could see why maybe that part didn't get included.
There's a,
with the,
see, and then it's just, it's him, like, right out of it. See? And that scene is in the movie.
Tiny the neck hole is?
Yeah. That was pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah, that scene's straight out of it.
And everybody starts freaking out, and I mean, this does also explain why the parade scene, and this also explains why the parade scene is arguably the best scene in the entire movie, because this is where the short comes from, or it comes out of the short, and he probably felt the need to like really live up to what he did in Grindhouse. And it's definitely bigger and better. But I think that having the context to where this comes from just lets you kind of in on why this movie has the sense of humor that it does, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that for sure. And again, which is really interesting because now you see it as more like the comedy of old exploitation movies out of, again, being outlandish and ridiculous versus it being like a divergence from the trailer, if that makes any sense.
This is why I got so upset that the entire world hated what's that fucking movie? I can't even remember the name. The swimming movie? Night Swim. At the beginning of this year, this is why I got so upset that the whole world hated Night Swim. Because that movie, if you just make a couple of tweaks has the exact same sensibility as this. Like, if you just have to make a couple little tweaks and it's just as outlandish and insane as this, and it feels like it could be an exploitation movie from the 70s. So
I think the difference there, though, is here we have somebody who feels tangible, and in that, it's a killer swimming pool. So I could see why people would either A, go, no, I'm not even going to bother, or go watch it hoping for something else. And what they get is, again, a killer swimming pool.
I just think that people are more willing to accept foolishness in a slasher movie than they are something like Night Swim.
Didn't Night Swim came out like right at the tail end of, I think, everything having to be elevated to.
I mean, like, that's true, because it was the beginning of this year, wasn't it? That was the beginning of 2024.
Night Swim?
Yeah. And
I thought it was last year. Was it this year?
Or 2023.
I lost that much time.
2024. Yeah, it was the beginning of this year.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I feel like we're getting a lot less. Maybe it's just me then. I feel like we're getting a lot less horror that's all about, we have to make a point, we have to appeal to group A, B, C through Z. And I think it's more about, if you have those characters, they're just part of the characters, which to me is how it should be. Like, just like put those people in and include them in the story. And now it's just about having people in a narrative. Like, that's what I think we're getting. I feel like we're getting a lot more of that now, but I think a lot of that might just because a lot of that's getting normalized for the better. I think it's great. I think a lot of that's getting normalized now, and people are like, okay, we don't need it shoved down our throats. Like, we're cool with that being in the narrative.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we hated it and kind of shit talked it for that very reason, I rewatched
Scream.
Fucking hell, no. The holiday movie from last year we reviewed. It's a Wonderful Knife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Knife kind of does that in a way that's not horrible.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that that's sort of what you're talking about. Those just happen to be people in the movie that are like that. We don't need to make a big fucking point about pointing it out and shit. So anyway, we're getting away from what we're talking about here. I really enjoyed this movie. So that is going to end the spoiler-free part of this review. I think that both you and I agree that I suggest this. What about you?
Oh, 100%.
If you are 100% into slasher movies, this is the fucking movie for you. And if you haven't seen it yet, now is the perfect time to get in on it, because it is that time of year and it's just amazing.
Yeah.
As far as like a slasher, shitty, funny, awful, dark humored, gory slasher goes. So.
Definitely. If you liked Krampus, you're probably going to like this.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Krampus definitely has a similar sensibility as far as the humor goes. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Thanksgiving and Krampus are now what now? At least now I have a movie to watch around Thanksgiving that isn't Planes, Trains and Automobiles and the Two Grumpy Old Men movies.
Or Blood Rage. Because, you know,
that wasn't going to ever be on my holiday list.
That's not cranberry sauce.
That's not cranberry sauce.
So anyway, I think we're going to move into the spoiler part of this review. Because
let's talk about some holes in bodies.
This is the thing that I want to talk about. And I've been wanting to talk about since the first time I saw it. So spoilers from here on out. The biggest problem I have with this movie is how far ahead I was as far as the killer goes. And here's the other thing. He tells you within the first shot of the movie who the killer is. He tells you. The very first shot of the movie is a POV shot from the killer's perspective, that the door then gets opened on the other side of that POV shot, and it is the guy that ends up being the killer. The first shot of the movie. The first shot of the movie, he tells you who it is. So
that's
if
true.
You watch horror movies a lot, I knew within the first 3 seconds, that's the guy. Because you don't show a heavy breathing POV shot of what is classically a killer shot and then show that person and not have him be the killer. So the entire movie, I saw where this was going, and it made me watch it in a different way. I don't necessarily hold that against it, because it's not... as much as this is a whodunit slasher movie, with it being that predictable, I just don't feel like that's a big enough part of this, of what this movie's identity is. So I'm able to look past it, if that makes any sense. Did you have this where you figured this out super fucking early?
No, I think what's happened is you've become like that really annoying lady at a coffee shop that reads way too many Agatha Christie novels. You've been able to see the patterns. You've been able to pick out things that I think most people wouldn't pick out, which is fine. I mean, you know, when you watch enough of a movie, you start to pick up on stuff. But no, I did not.
And he does straight up follow the slasher formula in this. So,
yeah, but I'm not as familiar with that formula. So no, to me, it was not obvious.
Okay.
I am now ashamed to say that I did not know who the killer was until it was becoming blatantly obvious to a normie like me. a well-adjusted human being.
Okay. Well, I mean, that is probably how most people are going to see this movie. I mean, I said,
hope so now.
Within the first 3 seconds, I knew who it was, which pissed me off. Like, I just, as if I was sitting there in the theater, like, you did not just do that. Because anybody that knows anything about horror movies, like, it's just so fucking obvious, and it drives me crazy. The first time I saw this in the theater, I was sitting there watching it going, please don't be right. Please don't be right. Fuck. Oh, that's such a bummer. But since watching it several more times after that, I am more accepting of it. And when you know what's coming, you can watch it in a different way, even if that way that I watched it was the first time I watched it. So, if you didn't see that, I can't hold that against this. I really can't, because that's a me thing and not a movie problem, which you have confirmed. Yeah. So,
yeah, well, I've confirmed that about a lot, but yeah, it's definitely definitely a you problem.
Right.
For sure. But it's only a you problem for you.
Yeah.
Unlike, you know, other things. But no, it does kind of, I could see how that would kind of ruin it for you. I could see how that would kind of ruin everything else when it's the first shot. At least if it was like the end of the first act,
right,
you could be like, okay, now I know, but there was some buildup.
But see, that's the thing, is you would then
no buildup.
But then other people would notice it, because you would then have enough context to put it together. If he was to put something in there at the end of act one, more people would figure it out at the end of act one than within no context, whether unless you're rewatching this movie or you know a lot about horror slasher tropes and stuff like that. I just feel like that's the only way he could do it. And I just feel like he just couldn't fucking help himself. Like, it's just
that. So that brings up the question. Do you think this was a nod to horror fans, or do you think this was kind of like a,
I mean, I think it was, I think it was a nod. I don't think that he did that with like the purpose of like, I'm going to ruin this for anybody that knows these tropes. There's no way that was like
the Sixth Sense in reverse.
Right. There's no way he did that intentionally. It's just, I don't know, dude, that was, the first two times I watched it, it was a very, very difficult thing to get past. And the third time I watched it, and even now, the fourth time I've watched it, it's, I don't mind it. And because I know what's coming, and I don't know, it's just on a rewatch, that is what makes movies like this fun, though, for people that don't catch that stuff, is on a rewatch, you do catch all of those things because you do know what's coming. So,
right.
You know, and considering this is a holiday movie, it's really going to limit people to when they watch it anyway. So if you separate this out by a year when you watch it, you may not even catch that stuff anyway. So
do you think that, it's that's quite like a possible third or fourth that we
time watch?
Do you think it's possible that we just ruined the sequel for people if he uses that same thing as a nod to the first one?
I fucking hope he doesn't. God damn it. I hope not. Oh, I hadn't even considered that. I don't know. If he uses that same thing, instantly I will be very upset. But if people like you don't notice it, and what I mean by people like you is people that don't obsessively watch horror movies and discuss tropes and blah, blah, blah.
The general public.
Everyone else, yes. no one else is going to notice. And I will try to go into this sequel
right,
with an open mind and try not to pick it apart. But like stuff like that, I didn't want to fucking notice that. I didn't want to ruin that movie 3 fucking seconds into it for myself.
Right.
But that's what happened because when
do you,
I don't know, whatever.
When you go into a movie review, do you get lost in it at all? If you know you're going to review it or
no,
do you like,
no,
you don't get lost in it at
it
all.
It has to be, it has to be damn near a 10 for that to be the case.
Interesting. So you can't sit there and be like, and be analytical and immersed at the same time. I don't mean that
no,
as a bad thing.
No. I definitely can. But that's the thing is like when I went to see this, we weren't going to review it. I went to go see this in the theater for the first time just to go see it because I wanted to see it because it was a Thanksgiving horror movie and it was a slasher, Eli Roth, like blah, blah, blah. But no, I didn't go into this thinking analytically about it the first time I watched it. I did this time.
Same.
But I've also seen it 4 different times. So I have a very different view of this movie than you do. So
you need to drink more. I think that's what I think that's what we're learning here. You need to drink more.
That, my friend, is how I gained 50 pounds that I have now dropped. So,
well, that's so good about being built like a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah. When I was drinking a lot, I got real fat.
So that's fair because and here's the reason I say that because
you can go back on this channel myself, and see it.
I don't like I don't get shit faced drunk every time I watch a movie. But like when I sit down and watch a movie, like usually I'll have like, you know, a couple beers or something because, you know, I'm relaxing. Right. Like the whole point is to like relax, enjoy the movie and hang out. And I find that I can sit there and analyze things in a movie but still get sucked into it if I really like it without it having to be on a pedestal like a 10.
Well, I mean, I can definitely do that, but it takes it has to be a good movie in order for that to happen.
Fair enough. I've also been making like a super conscious effort to try and find the middle ground when doing that. And it's allowed me to enjoy more of the garbage you keep subjecting me to. And I think it's a good thing because a lot of these movies I probably wouldn't enjoy in the same way otherwise.
Well, if we're talking about bad horror movies, you can't go into those with like, I'm going to tear this apart as far as like,
no, but I have also found myself like, even with that mentality still going like, dude, I can't, I just
mean, some
can't.
Of them are just bad. Like I've, you know, I can't justify all of them. They're all, some of them are just straight bad movies.
Yep.
But not all of them. And if you're open-minded, you know, you find stuff that's good, but
yeah,
I, you know, with something like this, I just don't think this made, now I'm curious how much money this made because
enough to make a sequel, which means it came in over budget. While you're doing that, I would like to say at some point, I feel like this is a movie where I'd like to do something we haven't done before, which is listing what death we thought was the coolest. We don't normally have movies where we can go, this was the coolest death, because honestly, these deaths are all very creative. He clearly put a lot of thought into how am I going to kill this person off in an impactful way, in a way that sticks with you one way or another. And for me, it was a lot of ha ha ha's. And I would imagine that for other people, it would have been, you know, impactful, but more in like a kind of way, like in a very uncomfortable.
I can't remember.
Kind of way.
Did you watch In a Violent Nature with us when we watched that on Discord?
Probably.
I think so. You'd remember it. The death of the girl doing yoga. True. You'd remember
the
that.
Death of the you girl would doing you, yoga. Okay. No, you'd I don't remember that.
It. You definitely didn't see it. My point was going to be was like that is like a really really fucked up moment in that movie. Kind of like the when he saws the girl in half in the first Terrifier, where it's like a really fucked up moment. That moment in In a Violent Nature is not that bad. It's not that bad, but it's a similar thing where it's like,
that wasn't funny to me.
No,
was very, but
my point is,
I didn't know you could do that on camera. Yeah,
that wasn't funny to me either. My point was, is like, there are moments in A Violent Nature in that film where I was sitting there watching it in the theater and the whole theater went, oh, and I was like, that could have been way grosser. Not that I wanted it to be, but that, you know, and it's just because of how much you subject yourself to and how desensitized you become and all of that shit. So this movie, I think that for me, the coolest death is something I already brought up, which is when the thing goes through the guy's head. That death is so fucking mean-spirited to do it right in front of his grandkids. and it's well executed. It's gross.
He didn't do that on purpose. That was an accident.
It's funny, it's gross. It's got everything I need in a funny, like, gross black humor slasher kill like that. And it's great. I don't, what is yours?
The guy with the cat.
The guy with the cat. Okay.
The guy with the cat.
Yeah.
Is by far, in my opinion, not, it's not the grossest.
No,
it's not the, I will say the one you said is the one I laughed the hardest at. Yeah. I laughed my ass off at that death. This one I laughed my ass off. I even paused it and rewound it. And I went, Brady, come here. You got to see this. She wasn't watching it with me. And I rewound it just so she could see the part where he gets beheaded. And then the guy goes, well, I can't leave the cat unfed. And he goes and feeds the fucking cat. And
scooches his head.
But it was just so, like, it's the first, like, very Thanksgiving, like, he uses the turkey cutter knife.
Dude, the electric knife. When he puts the thing to tell when a turkey is done in her shoulder, when he's cooking her, and it pops at the end of that scene is hysterical. Hysterical.
Yeah, it's hilarious. But the one with the guy with the cat, which I think is the first one, right?
I think it's the second one. No, it's the second one, because the first one is the girl cuts the girl in half and puts her on the sign.
Yep. That's right. That first one was when I went, okay, this is going to be an Eli Roth movie.
Yeah, that is the moment where he really unleashes everything.
Like, he made it wet on purpose and then stuck her to it. Yeah. Like that's just mean, bro. And so, but that one, the one with the cat is just, it was so stylized. It was so cool. And it's the first time you see, like, how really well done the special effects and the prosthetics are in this.
Yeah.
Because the bodies and the severed heads, these are some of the most realistic prosthetics I think I've seen in a horror movie recently.
Well, it makes me wonder who did the
prosthetics.
So Atmos Effects did the digital stuff, which includes falling leaves and stuff like that.
Atmos, like the company that makes Atmos monitors effects. And recorders?
Atmos Effects. Then Adrian Morat.
Moray. Probably Moray. That sounds like it might be French.
I think you're right. Yep.
Moray.
Yep. So he is the same guy. Let me pop this over here. He is the same guy that did the whale makeup on Brendan Fraser. Have you seen that? Where he's a very large person.
No, that one hits too. I've been told that one might hit too close to home.
Gotcha. Okay, so he did First Omen, Thanksgiving, the newest Scream, Pale Blue Eye, which we both fucking loved. He did the special effects makeup on that for what's his name, Harry Melling. Do you remember the fucking special effects makeup and stuff on Harry Melling to make him look like?
Yeah, I do.
God damn, such a fucking great movie. And then he did Megan, The Whale, Fatherhood, The Unholy.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, this dude has been around for a minute. Crawl, X-Men Dark Phoenix, The Lighthouse. Fucking holy shit, dude. Man. Pet Sematary, Possession of Hannah Grace, fucking The House with the Clock in Its Walls, which makes sense.
What do you need? I will do it all.
Slenderman, Death Wish, Mother, Cult of Chucky, dude. This just keeps going and going and going. X-Men movies, Riddick. Wow. Bag of Bones.
Feels like a guy that slaps a lot of scalpels out of a lot of hands behind the scenes.
What does that mean?
Just very particular.
Oh.
Just like, no, that's not right.
Well, I wonder what his first thing was. Are You Afraid of the Dark? 1993, his first, he started in Are You Afraid of the Dark? That's great.
This man has been in my life for so long, and
no idea. He also did he also did some of the stuff in Brain Scan. Have you seen Brain Scan? That movie's fucking crazy. But all right, well, why don't we go ahead and talk final thoughts and ratings for Thanksgiving?
It's Thanksgiving from 2023 is, like I said, it's a lot of fun. It's a ton of fun. It was refreshing. And the more I think about that word, I think it has more to do with what you make me watch, because of it was very, it was gory, but it wasn't over the top. It had a good narrative. Like, things felt very well executed. Like, they really, really gave a shit about it. And it's a holiday movie. It's another holiday movie that I get to add to my list. I don't believe I own this one. I do own a lot of movies that I've not gotten around to watching. I would have bought this in 4K. So no, I don't own this one.
Well, this is one of those ones that I don't think you had on your radar that much, that you were going to like that much.
No, not really. I will be looking for it though. Unfortunately, I will have to buy it online because we as a people have ruined physical media. Yeah. And so I will be definitely buying this and watching this for like a holiday movie moving forward, because it's not just gory for the sake of being gory. It's not just ridiculous. Like, there's a reason to get through it, to enjoy it, and to want to watch what happens next. And that, to me, is what I like in gory horror movies. It's not just, I'm not just getting to the next part to see the next violent part. I'm getting through it because I want to see what happens next in the story.
Yeah. So that kind of leads into my first Letterboxd review back in November of 2023. It's really short, so I'm just going to read it. This is like a really violent episode of Scooby-Doo. The kills are gory, the mask is cool, and the overall idea is fun. This is the mentality of a slasher from 1986, and I'm here for it. The big reveal, however, was a letdown. This really hurt the movie's score in the end. But this is a ton of fun, and we finally have another Thanksgiving slasher to add to the list. So that's pretty much where I'm at still with this movie. This is really fun, and I think that if you go into it with the mentality of this is a really fun slasher, you're going to have a lot of fun. If you want high-minded, elevated horror, this is not that movie, and that is okay. Nobody makes fucking movies like this anymore where they don't have a deeper meaning and are not super serious. And like, there has to be room, there has to be space in the horror genre for stuff like this. And I love stuff like this. You cannot be always taking yourself super seriously and have really deep horror movies every single time. It almost makes people emotionally exhausted watching horror movies when every fucking movie is like that. Sometimes it's okay for a horror movie to just be shitty, funny, gory, dark, funny movie, and that's exactly what this is. Yep. And there's not a lot of that that comes out anymore. So I went ahead and gave this an 8 out of 10. I really, really liked this. I think that me having the issues that I have with it are almost an exclusively me and other seriously hardcore horror tropey people. But other than that, this, for everyone else, this is going to hold up beautifully, and I can't hold my issues against it. So that's kind of where I'm sitting with this movie. What did you rate this? I don't think you did, actually.
I rated this an 8 out of 10 as well.
Okay.
I wrote it down in my notes. I haven't put it on Letterboxd yet.
All right. Well, yeah. Let us know what you thought about Thanksgiving. I think that this is a classic, and this is one that you pull out every year, in my opinion. There are not a lot of November-themed horror movies, and this is easily one of the best ones. I mentioned Blood Rage earlier. The only reason Blood Rage gets passed around on the internet is because it's one of the few Thanksgiving slashers. And this beats it by miles. So also, I did one, Christy. I think I did that last year. That might have been 2022. But Christy is another Thanksgiving horror movie that I reviewed as a solo review not that long ago. So I will also link that down below if you're looking for another Thanksgiving horror movie. But other than that, if you got all the way to the end of this, thank you. We made this for you. We know we haven't been around a whole lot lately, but it is what it is. We do these whenever we get a chance to, and we both really wanted to get this movie done. So I'm glad we watched this. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you guys next time from the deep. Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.